B-Pod Studios.
Hello?
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Well, a happy football Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. Live from the sportsbook, the brand new sportsbook at Parks Casino, the Midday Show with Jason Martinez and Anthony Gargano. And it's here, the football Friday before the biggest game, right? Before the game. And you know, if they win Sunday, you know the train ends of the parade. You know the train ends.
Next stop?
It's going to Atlanta. Like, they can't win and then lose next week.
So the guy comes over to the speaker and says,
"All right, Eagles fans, you beat the New Orleans Saints. Next stop, the Art Museum and the parade."
Yeah, it's very good. I like that. That's a good conductor voice.
I've always wanted to be a conductor.
You would be a great conductor.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this one, and I started to think about this, and I want this to be the theme of the day. If they win this time, is it even better than the first time? Because it's starting to feel like that.
Well, you're in the moment. So there's a recency bias.
There's a complete recency bias.
Yeah.
But again.
Ooh, that's a good question.
You don't know it until you go through it. And when you go through it, I think it would be.
Well, but people always said, no. We brought this up in the summer with Harry. And people said no because the first time...
It's always the first,
is
right.
Always, yeah, there's always the first.
It's, right.
And it's like the first high, you're trying to get it again because right. You've never had it before.
Right.
But scenario dictates what can ultimately be better. And frequency brings validation that it wasn't a fluke. So that's the difference.
Well, and the story is even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, and shame on me, but I thought that it could never be topped. Never be topped.
Yeah.
That it was the first, the circumstances were wholly unique. You know, star quarterback goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, the season starts with this incredible run, and you don't think... That it kind of eclipsed everybody's expectation.
Yeah.
You have this great run, quarterback goes down, back up to the rescue, whole thing. You know. But this one, I don't know, it seems even more preposterous, right? Like the road, like things that had to happen, like out of your control. Like once you go out of control, out of your control, Bears having to beat the Vikings. Yeah, you know, we're in some crazy territory.
Yeah, I think the factor for me that makes this so dynamic is because last year that was a 13-3 team that won the Super Bowl. And despite the fact that you lost your quarterback who was the MVP in the league at the time, and Carson Wentz, it was still a 13-3 football team. This wasn't that this time. It just wasn't. They scraped along all year just to get into position and then to go 5-1 down the stretch and get in. And like you said, and need help.
Yes.
Anthony, to me, it's a different story, and in the moment, it'll feel better than last year, but 10 years down the road when we look back, I think we'll say that the first one still is the one that was the most miraculous because it was the first taste of what we thought was the forbidden fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a Super Bowl felt like. Didn't it?
Yes.
Like, you kept seeing everybody else have this the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
But we couldn't eat it.
No.
So when we look back, I think in a decade, but right now, I think you're right. It's equal to or a greater feeling because expected.
Like the road that you would go through at Chicago.
Oh, it's a bigger accomplishment.
Right? Like at New Orleans, at Dallas or the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's
no joke, that road, by the way.
It is recency bias.
Yeah.
And
that's what's great about sports, though.
But it is because, like, you're in this moment. Like, the moment is such a great thing to be in the moment because just hearing people say, so I was talking to this woman, sweetheart, who at University of Penn Hospital, So I don't know, I gotta take tests or whatever. So I'm talking to her, and she said, well, I can get you in a little sooner, but are you an Eagles fan? And I went,
an Eagles fan.
I said, I love you. I said, of course I'm an Eagles fan. And it's like she had no idea, like,
yeah,
you know, what I did for a living, yeah, or anything. And I go, you're that big of a fan, huh? And she's like, yeah, I love her. Love the Eagles. Her name's Tanetta.
Tanetta, the Eagles fan. I like it. All right.
And I just went, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just absolutely awesome.
That's an Eagles friend with benefits.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, but that's what's going on. Like,
that's what happens.
It's tipped to the all the masses,
mm-hmm,
are in. Everybody's in on this thing.
Yeah. Now, like, if you were in a bar and the bar's crowded, you're bellied up to the bar and everybody's trying to get a drink, right? If there's a guy standing there with, like, a cowboy hat on and the bartender walks by, you're going to walk right by the cowboy fan.
Yeah.
You got the Eagles hat on. What do you need, buddy?
Yeah.
You're six deep.
Yeah.
But there's a cowboy fan in front. What do you need? Because you're an Eagle fan.
It's awesome. We had a
bond.
A couple of the guys from the electric union, and the guys were hanging out because they're doing some work here at Parks, and one of the dudes had an Eagles shirt, well, the other one had an Eagles hat. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, you just, like, that's what it is. Like, everybody's representing tonight.
Yeah. Like, my kids are going to school today. They all had Eagles pride today.
Yeah.
It was part of the school to come
in Eagles
shirts.
Pride today, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see. And that's what's great about playoffs. Everybody bonds together over our love for our team. And
yeah,
whether it's a 7-year-old girl like my daughter who, you know, she likes to watch the games and cheer on, but she doesn't, you know, she's not a vested fan. But,
right,
but this is where it bleeds, and this is how my 7-year-old daughter becomes a vested fan.
Sure, sure.
It's the moments like these.
Nah, it's what sweeps up the kids.
Well, let me ask you this question, because the Phillies won in 1980, and that's very dear to our heart because we were kids and,
yeah,
impressionable at the time. But then the Phillies won again as we were adults in 2008. Which one has a bigger place in your heart? It's a tough question.
Nah, it is. It's a really tough question.
You love players from both of those teams. And
I mean,
the 08 crew will be legendary, yeah, like some of the guys on 80.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know, through the eyes of a 10-year-old kid, I mean...
Yeah, you're picking your favorite kid here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's tough. I probably, the 08 was awesome.
It was tremendous.
It was, you know,
homegrown.
It was, yeah.
And Raul, you had some guys that Victorino came in and supplemented, but the core was homegrown.
No, I can't choose.
Yeah.
I mean, like... There were different experiences.
Yep.
And obviously when you're a child, everything is bigger. But the ability, see, this is what was cool. The ability to look at a run like this and become a child again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whether you're, you know, 25 or 85, you know, the ability to then become a child is a big deal with just unbridled joy.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It just brings you back. I got a text from my buddy Chris on the text board. He says, this will actually be better for the second time. For those who didn't like Foles and wished Wentz was behind center for the first Super Bowl win, people have come around on Foles, which means they'll fully buy in and they'll appreciate this championship more. Now, that's an interesting angle. Look, I wanted Wentz under center last year. I'm not afraid to admit it. I wanted him under center this year. But the situation is what the situation is, and we can't change that. So I have to stop worrying about that. So that takes a little bit of ag out of the equation.
Yeah, I think once Carson went down, it's like, all right, well, let's just go all in on Nick this year. Last year,
because you knew you
was
could.
Different because last year, it was less I wish Carson was behind center and more that I thought that Nick Foles couldn't win it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought the season was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, you know, morose.
He didn't know he could raise the level of his game to that level and outdo Tom Brady.
No.
Well, and rightfully so.
No, that was different. I'm saying before the playoffs started.
Okay. So the final three games of the season.
The Super Bowl, we all believed. That was the day that I never saw faith like I saw faith.
And you had clarity.
Yeah, today... I want to get back to it. I mean,
you have clarity today?
I want to get back to, we'll talk about it. I want to get back to the faith. And, you know, yesterday we looked at signs.
Mm-hmm.
And today I want to dive into the faith. And what gives you faith that they're going to win on Sunday?
Okay. And one of the things we talked about at the end, and by the way, last night at the Flyers game, I saw so many great fans. And so many people were coming up and giving me signs last night. The fours and everything last night. I'm getting tweets all night. Guy had a dinner bill last night. It was 44-44.
No.
A guy at the Wawa took a picture of his slip and his number to pick up his hoagie. Was 444. Uh-huh. It was insane. So I'm getting these all night last night.
That's crazy.
But I want to ask you a question that I asked at the end of yesterday's show. And I want you to answer this when we come back. Because you give a very well thought out answer. I'm just going to back out of your way and let you go. What does Eagles football mean to you? Like, this is where it really culminates.
Yeah.
Underdog here against a great Saints team on the road. What's it going to mean if they win this game? To you. To everybody.
Funny, that question has been, I think I've asked that question many times.
Of yourself?
Of last year. No, during the run last year.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Super Bowl and during that whole 2 weeks of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I asked that question.
Anthony, you went and sat in your car and looked at the stadium a couple weeks ago.
I know.
So you can't tell me it doesn't have profound impact on us.
No, it does.
It does.
Mean, no, it's. It's more than a sport. It's way more. Way more. Yep. We'll get into it. We're live at the new sports book right here. It's beautiful.
Nice kiosk, right?
Yeah, people are at the kiosk right now. getting those Eagle bets in. Right?
Money line. Oh, it's an outright. T-Mac, this is certainly crazy times once again. It seems like the Eagles have recaptured the heart and minds of everybody in this city again, and it's swelling again with Eagle pride.
It's unreal. I mean, the way that it ended in Chicago last week, it's just kind of those pinch yourself, is this actually happening type moments, I guess, that we've become somewhat accustomed to with the Eagles over the last season plus. I mean, it just in kind of surreal fashion, they were able to pick themselves off the mat and then pull out just an amazing win on the road against a really good Chicago team. And now they're gearing up for a rematch against the Saints. And actually right now I'm probably about 100 feet from the bubble in which they're practicing in, and you can hear the loud music that's pouring out from there. Of course, they're practicing inside to try to get used to a really noisy environment, one that they're going to be experiencing on Sunday at the Superdome.
I loved your tweet, Timmy. T-Mac had a tweet. It was of Foles is his high school yearbook, and Nick Foles was named most likely to be featured on ESPN. And Timmy said, I'd say he crushed that prediction.
Wow.
I would guess so. Yeah, I did a piece this week because, of course, him and Drew Brees both went to Westlake High School in Austin, Texas, 10 years apart. First it was Brees and then Foles following him up. It's pretty interesting kind of doing research on that because Brees comes in as like this unknown, scrawny kid who was behind this like perfectly Texas named guy named Johnny Rogers, who's supposed to be like quarterback. And then, Brees comes in there. Nobody thinks anything of him. And he goes on to win the only state title for that school in its history. And then 10 years later, here comes Nick Foles, 6'4", 210 pounds as a freshman, and had the hype that he had to live up to of being the next Drew Brees or the best quarterback since Drew Brees to come through that program, and successfully did live up to it. And it's just kind of an amazing thing that you have two Super Bowl MVPs from the same high school who share, I think, a lot of the same values and obviously very different playing styles. Squaring off in this one. It's pretty incredible.
Tim McManus joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline from ESPN.com. Tim, I want to go back to the Bear game last week because Anthony brought this up last week and why this wasn't a miracle win. It was an earned win. And that drive with about 4 minutes left on the clock to go 60 yards against that defense for the Eagles offense and Nick Foles, cool under pressure once again, was so impressive.
It sure was. And there was no kind of, and I asked around in the locker room afterwards, what's Foles saying, is there any kind of message that he's delivered? Because of course we saw the Super Bowl video, the final drive, he's like, first of all, I love you guys. But Lane Johnson this time around said there was no like Friday Night Lights, hype words. It was just kind of cool Nick, as Golden Tate put it, just kind of this feeling of calm that he brings to the table. Doug Peterson said sometimes you have to check his pulse to make sure, like, is this guy even like breathing? He's so calm. And so I think that really helps when you're in a pressurized moment on the road. And then I also think that, you know, this kind of trust thing that goes on between Peterson and Foles is pretty crazy. I mean, we all know about the Philly special. Foles goes up to him and says, how about Philly? And Peterson's like, yeah, why not? And then it unfolds again on fourth down during that drive where Foles goes over and he's like, you know, how about we run this sprint out? And Peterson's on board and they do it and it works and they move on again. So, you know, just kind of a real special relationship there and obviously a real special demeanor that Foles brings to those type of situations.
Talking to T-Mac on the Comcast Business Hotline. Let me ask you about this game and how it plays out from a defensive standpoint with the Eagles. What are you thinking? I think it'd be beneficial for the Eagles to let New Orleans, to entice them to run it and not get hit hard. You know that Maddox is not going to get beat with the double moves because after last week. So you got to worry about Breeze going underneath. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm not totally convinced that Maddox won't get bit, getting beat on double moves. Cause just talking to him, he said that I'm not going to change my style. I just have to be better with my eyes. And I think that if he takes away the level of aggressiveness that's really worked in his game, then
yeah, I agree. I agree with
what's
you.
What's left, you know?
Yeah.
So I still think there is a little bit of concern there if Breeze manipulates him. But I will say that, you know, what they did last time out was they did a lot of double team toward Michael Thomas. In fact, Malcolm Jenkins was asked a couple weeks ago, you know, do you double team a receiver every play? I think it was right before the DeAndre Hopkins matchup. And he said, well, we tried that with Thomas and didn't really work out that well. So I don't think we'll do that ever again. So I think that they'll switch up, the way that they attack, the wide receivers this time around with maybe a fewer double teams with Thomas. So we'll see how that plays out. But I agree that you have to keep it in front of you, Anthony. And if they have to give up a little bit more on the ground game as a result of that, then so be it.
Tim McManus joining us from ESPN.com. Tim, we remember back to that game on November 18th, and you almost forget about it because you move on to the next game, much like the players do a lot of times. But at the end of that game, when they played the Saints, Malcolm Jenkins and the Eagles players felt like they ran up the score, and Malcolm Jenkins delivered the double bird to his former arrogant coach and Sean Payton. And then Jason Peters, right after the Chicago win, mentioned that as well. How real is that a factor in motivating this Eagle team? They're already motivated, obviously. But how real is that factor in wanting to exact that revenge on their home field?
I think you use everything you can in these types of situations. And they're downplaying it. It's like player by player. When you ask them, some will say that, as you said, Jason Peters has mentioned it. We know this is personal for Malcolm Jenkins, even though he says you don't need any extra motivation. A trip to New Orleans, especially after the way it played out, is personal. I think it's personal for a lot of these guys who felt embarrassed the way that they walked off the field in the Superdome week 11 after a 41-point blowout. I mean, this is a prideful group, and I think that you've seen basically like a half a season response to that. That was the point where they kind of drew the line in the sand, and they're like, you know, this is not us.
Yeah.
We can't continue to play like this. I mean, so they've had that prideful response, and I think it's definitely going to be on the top of minds. And even though they downplay it this week, I guarantee you, like when they're in the tunnel and you start hearing what those conversations are, like right before they take the field, it's going to have a lot to do with what happened the last time they were there. So yeah, I think it's going to, I don't think you need it. But I think they're going to use it, if that makes sense. I mean, you use everything you can, and why not kind of an embarrassing loss to fuel whatever extra fire you might need.
So T-Mac, I'm just curious, because Saints defense is kind of sneaky good. I think we think they're all offense, and they've played pretty well. What's the best way to attack them in your eyes?
Well, I think that there's a couple things that are working in the Eagles' benefit here. One, I think, the advantage, generally speaking, is in their favor offensive line versus their defensive line. I think that if you look at a matchup with Alshon Jeffrey against the way that he's playing, you know, I think that he's really taken his game up to another level. And if he can find Eli Apple on the outside, I think that can be a matchup they can take advantage of. And then, you know, I mean, the tight ends have worked really well for them all year, as we know. And I think that they can find some space behind those linebackers, who are good against the run. But I think maybe you can take a little advantage of them in the passing game. So
that's why I was thinking Sproles. I know that, you know, he, you know, he's an obvious choice, but he wasn't there last time, T-Mac. So I'm thinking Sproles can make a splash here.
Yeah, and he's going to be just as motivated. I mean, he's a former Saint, as we all know, and he has been chomping at the bit. And from what I heard, he was pissed that he wasn't able to play the last time that these two teams lined up. So he is going to be certainly motivated for this game. I think they're 5-1 since he got back in the lineup. He's been huge for them. And this isn't a team necessarily that you're going to be able to run super well against, or that they're, I don't think that they're going to be like real run centric anyway. So yeah, use Sproles, use them in the pass game, use them however you can.
Tim McManus joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, ESPN.com, Birds Insider, also for 97.5, The Fanatic. Tim, November 18th, these two teams were far different than they are as we sit here now on the precipice of the divisional round of the playoffs. The Eagles are a much different team on both sides of the ball, and so are the Saints. So how does this game play out in your estimation?
Definitely a different team for the Eagles. I don't think that you're going to see anything close to what it was last time. As we know, there were guys who got injured in that game. Their secondary was already really shaky, and then they lost Sidney Jones, and they lost Rasul Douglas, and they lost Devontae Maddox in-game. They lost Jordan Hicks. So I think they have solidified things in the back end, and I think it's going to be a real competitive game. Picking the Saints in this one, they're the number one seed. They've been arguably the best team in football for the entire season. Coming off of a bye, Drew Brees with extra time to prepare for a defense is a dangerous thing, and him at home in the postseason is a really dangerous thing. So I'm picking the Saints. But that said, this team has surpassed expectations for a couple years straight now. They have wowed people. They have captured imaginations. They have done the impossible. So I certainly don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they go in and they continue to make doubters seem foolish. So I'm fully aware of that, but I'll give a slight edge to the Saints, expecting a kind of knockdown drag out type of game. Really exciting matchup.
Well, if you can win in Chicago -2 in the turnover battle, and you can go into Saints and keep it close, it could come down to one big play, and who's going to be the player or team that makes that play is going to determine the winner. Tim, hey, man, we appreciate it. Safe travels down to New Orleans, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
Safe travels, brother.
If there's a man to pray, I said if there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer.
I can't get enough of this, though. I love the song. You need to play the song more, Andrew.
All right.
Bound for New Orleans.
I wonder if Andrew will have to do an edit next week for the second verse.
Yes.
Bound for California through the forest and the pines.
Yeah, I think he needs to.
Yeah, I agree.
You need to do that. You also need to play. We need to play the Bryan Cranston, Walter White thing one more time that was on Good Morning Football.
Yeah. Hit the Riled Up line this weekend, by all means. We want in-game, post-game reaction, and do so at 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there. Andrew will find the best
faith
of the best.
I want to make sure you flood the faith line.
Yeah, flood it in advance as well, because we'd like to get a cross-section of people feeling it on the day of, and then during, and then after, because it's going to be a glorious Sunday, Anthony.
What a great song. You know that song? I actually like this song.
I do, too. I always like ZZ Top. I like blues.
Well, I just like,
and the vibe of it you like.
Yeah, I do.
It's got a good pace to it for you. The other thing is, it's going to be a great weekend because the Phillies are going to sign Bryce this weekend.
Yeah, I feel it too. I do. I feel the Phillies.
You feel the Phillies?
I do. I feel the Phillies. I feel Bryce coming here. I think the Phillies are going to be special this year.
All right, 34 is the number that Bryce wears. The Eagles are going to put up 34 points, and they'll sign Bryce. That'd be a magical weekend.
Yeah, buddy. I think so.
Double three.
How about Carter Hart last night?
Yeah, there you go. Number 79. Let's see what came in on the Riled Up line last night.
Jason, Cuz, checking in live from Vegas. Clocked out of work today. 4:44. Bold. That's five letters. His number is 9. 9 minus 5. equals four. Number of hundos I put down on the Eagles to win. Insert drop. Let's go!
Eagles! That's great. Well, that is great.
So I told the story yesterday on the air. I've told it before on the air about the significance of the number four to me, and it's tied to my dad. And yeah, you were looking for signs. And what I didn't realize is that the number four, how it affects so much of this city. I'm getting pictures of Wawa receipts. Order number 444.
Sure.
A guy
and I didn't
even
realize that you're working with me, creator of 444.
It's insane. The one guy texted me his bill for dinner last night was $44.44.
That's wild.
I'm getting people coming up to me at the Flyers game last night saying how they've seen it and giving me examples. It was crazy last night.
That's crazy. It is crazy.
Oh, the number four, I'm telling you, it is the magic number this weekend. You know, four rounds of the playoffs this year. It's going to be great.
It is.
What's next?
Nikki, the Avenger. That's what we're going to call Nick Foles, because we went into New Orleans and got an ass kick. You don't take an ass whooping like that and flip the double bird to the coat and sit there and sit back. So Nikki is going to avenge us this Sunday. So look out, New Orleans. And for my player to watch on defense, Malcolm Jenkins, he is going to tear that field up, on my word.
It's a good one.
I like that a lot.
I think Nick Foles will be featured in the next Avengers movie. New character to Marvel. Nikki Nine. Nick Big Stick. Big Stick Nick. All right? And he'd have like a goofy mask, too. And you, and
has his staff.
You know what his superpower is? That you underestimate him.
Yes.
And then he comes out and takes your heart on a stick.
There you go.
A staff.
That's right.
What's that?
In New Orleans, especially you, Sean Payton. That's cool. You can bring in a bag of money and a Lombardi. It's pretty dusty from 2009. We're coming to New Orleans. We're going to beat the out of you. Hey, Alvin Kamara, I'll watch out if I were you. You don't want to be like Reggie Bush next.
He was strategic use of the F-bomb.
Yes.
As an accent.
I like the accent of the F-bomb. It's a great modifier.
Harry
used correctly.
Harry Hustle beats. Tweets into the show and goes, yesterday, I bought a 4-for-4 meal from Wendy's. Get back in the car, and I hear at 975 Middays talking about the power of the number four. Let's go, birds.
Look at that.
It's the power
of four. It is the power of four.
What number, Andrew?
Four!
Thank you.
Anthony, Martinez, how am I doing? Nicky Six, I'm going to be demanding on the Saints defense. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make some noise. Come on. I saw the sign. Woo!
Let's make some noise. Come on. How's everyone doing?
Somebody just sent me this.
That has become one of the greatest drops. How's everybody doing?
Of course, that's when he was the MVP of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
On the 27-2 year.
Yeah.
Go back to six seeds to beat number one seeds in the NFL since 1990, Anthony.
Uh-huh.
05-06 was the one that Dungy referenced. They were the number one seed.
Steelers.
Pittsburgh was the six and went on.
That was a fake six. They were a fake six.
But what did the Steelers do that year? They went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
2010-11, the Jets defeated the Patriots as a number six seed.
2011, right.
Uh-huh.
Right, we had a caller tell us about that.
Yep. 28-29, the Ravens defeated the number one seed Titans. And 2008-2009, the Eagles defeated the number one seed Giants. And then 2010-11, the Packers defeated the Falcons.
That was Stu Bradley game.
Yes. So.
What was the other one, DN?
The Packers defeated the Falcons in 2011.
Wow, they were a six seed?
Yeah, the Packers were the sixth seed that year. And Aaron Rodgers beat Atlanta down in the Dome.
Wow.
Yeah. What's next?
Franco Reed. Gotta do about. I want respect, eh? I want respect. I'm smart, eh? I want respect. Time's yours. I gotta do a better job, eh?
Yeah. That's Franco Reed.
Fredo Reed. Take a bat on the boat. Do a little fishing in one of the lakes out there. Won't see him no more.
Do a Hail Mary, the red zone.
since then.
So, Jason, Maroon 5, getting you pumped up, you just lost all metalhead credibility, man.
Eric from Trenton's a big Maroon 5 fan. Yes. You don't like Maroon 5, Anthony?
No.
I don't know the words to it. Something I can't remember. Is he going to sing, Andrew? I could have done him as
instrumental version.
You got to tell me, and I'll get the words up. I'll do a little Eric from Trenton karaoke.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah, maybe there won't be a next time. How about that?
Good.
But I'm off.
I used to sing as you.
Yeah, I remember.
I could carry a tune as you. I can't carry a tune as me, but I can carry a tune as you.
I can carry you.
Out of the body bag. Thanks.
After he put a smoking two-piece through Trubisky, the fastest gun in the East, he sets his eyes towards Bourbon Street. Oh, you raging Cajuns. You should have listened up when we told y'all in Chicago. The fastest gun in the East, he fears no man for that built-in kickstand. We told you. Now set sight sails on Bourbon Street. Mardi Gras, you have a new float. It's the Big Bulge Falls holding a Super Bowl.
That is very good. That's very good. Good job.
Stacks.
Let me tell you something, brother. Hungry dogs run faster. We all we got. We all we need. And we coming. Be ready. We ready. We ready. We ready for y'all. Everybody.
That was the mix of all the sayings over the last 2 years.
Yeah. There's a lot of great sayings came out of it.
No one else came out was great. The Foles chant.
Skull Fold?
Yeah, I love the Foles Skull chant.
I do too.
That was a great mockery of the Vikings fans.
Yeah, the biggest babies in sports.
And it was a great, it was like we took their chant and owned it.
Yeah, and made it ours.
It's even better when it sounds. Andrew, you have a Foles, you have the Foles Skull chant?
I'll dig one up for you.
Yeah, dig it up. Because that is the best.
You know, like in medieval times, they take a guy and they put his head on a stake.
Yeah.
That's what we did with their chant.
Yeah, it's the truth.
It's the truth. These people had the balls to march up on the art museum in steps and do that. I mean, the grapes on those people.
But that Foles chant is awesome.
Yeah.
You're going like, hey, you're Foles.
Yeah.
Foles. Foles. Say real quick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.